You are now listening to The Gabby Table with Shay.
Welcome, welcome, guys. If you're new on this platform, welcome. I'm so happy having you here. And if you have been consistent, welcome to welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's another Wednesday, and you know, every Wednesday gets interesting as the time goes on. And I'm so excited recording this because it's a topic that, well, it might take, you know, like 3 series before it will be concluded. But as long as we're learning at God's feet and then we are growing, I think it's okay. I hope so. Anyways, yeah, so today we're going to be discussing trusting God. And before we go ahead with that, I'd like to read to us Proverbs 3. Verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So before we get right into it, just stay tuned, relax, and listen to this lovely music, and we'll be right back.
Come on, everybody, get your feet happy. Let's go, come on.
Welcome back from that break, and I hope you enjoyed the song. So let's go right into what we have for today. What does it mean to trust God? We've been hearing trust God, trust in the Lord, believe him, have faith, all of that. Now what does it mean? I'm sure some of us already know what it means, but then for those of us who are still struggling with trusting God, struggling with understanding what trusting God means. So when it comes to trusting God, it means believing in his reliability, believing his word, his ability, and his strength to be able to do what we want him to do, or what we are asking of him to do. The Bible says that God cannot lie. So definitely that word should give you an instinct or an insight on how trusting God should be, or the outcome of trusting God. God cannot lie. So definitely when you trust him, when you put all your hope on him, when you rely on him, you rely on his strength, on his capability, then definitely what you seek of him, he will do. So you will always keep his promises that he loves you and has good in store for you. Trusting in him means believing what he says about himself, about the world, and about you is true. You know how you trust your fellow human being and then you believe, ah, oh, this person, I believe what this person is saying. Even if the person tells you that he or she bought an item for 500,000 you believe that, oh yes, I believe this person. Even if someone is like, that same item, I still got it for 40k, then how come you believe the other person that says 500k? You believe the other person that says 500k because you trust the person so much. You rely on the person's strength, on the person's words, everything the person says, you trust. That same way with God. When we trust God, it means believing what he says about himself. Everything that is in the Bible, scriptures that's written about God, you believe everything. You believe everything he has said about the world, and you believe everything he has said about you and I. Trusting God is more than a feeling. It's a choice to have faith in what he says when your feelings or circumstances would have you believe something different. Your feelings and circumstances may matter and are very much worth paying attention to. God cares about them both, but those things alone are not reliable enough to base your life on. You can change at any moment, even in an instant. God, on the other hand, does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and therefore is worthy of your trust. Trusting God is not about ignoring your feelings or reality. It's not pretending that everything is okay when it isn't. Trusting God is living a life of belief and obedience to God even when it is difficult. This already explains what trusting God means, or what trusting God should mean to us as believers, as Christians. Trusting God is more than feelings, is more than emotions, how you feel, or I feel like I should trust this person, I feel like I trust this person. It's way beyond that compared to how you feel like I trust your fellow human or something. It's way beyond that because it is God we are talking about here, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that changeth not. So feelings fade. Like, you can love somebody today and then tomorrow you don't love the person. That's why trust is way beyond all that. Trust is like a choice. I choose to trust this person. I choose to have faith in this person. And there is nothing anybody says, or there is nothing, even when the things you're believing him for doesn't happen, you still believe in him. You still have that faith and that trust in him. So trusting God is not about ignoring your feelings or reality. That is not what trust is about. A lot of people mistake trust and faith for that. They feel like because I trust God, or because I'm like, I believe or I have faith that this thing is going to work out for me, sometimes people just be like, are you sure you're okay? Because let's be practical, like, God is not a God of logical. Like, there's some times that you don't have to be practical when it comes to God or logical. You just have to do as he says. It might sound stupid, it might sound foolish. It might sound foolish to you and everyone around you, but because you trust him, your trust for him is way beyond feelings. It's a choice of faith, and you cling to that trust, and then you pull through it whatever you have in mind to do. It's not about ignoring your feelings, I feel like it's not going to work, or ignoring the reality of this situation is actually bad, like this person is really sick, probably with cancer or going through trauma or something. It's not about ignoring that fact. It's about knowing that exists, it exists, and you trust and believe God that it would no longer exist. It's not about pretending everything is okay. Like, everything is not okay, so why should I pretend that everything is okay? So, like, be true to yourself. Be realistic to yourself and even to God. Yes, he knows our heart, but he wants us to talk to him, communicate with him. So how to trust God? Now that you know what it means, like, you know what it means to trust God, how exactly you can do that in your everyday life. If you trust somebody, you'll feel comfortable being honest with them about anything. God is much more reliable than even your most trustworthy friend. And when things feel difficult, he doesn't ask you to keep those feelings to yourself. Because God loves you, you can show your trust in him by talking about your feelings and circumstances with him, the good and hard, through prayer. Communication. Prayer is one thing that God has given to us as Christians, as believers, to be able to communicate with him, to be able to talk to him. Now, God is not somebody that you would want to communicate to and it's like, no, coming back later, I'm really busy right now. or somebody whom you are trying to explain or pour out your feelings to, and the person is probably not even paying attention to you. The person is not even listening, is not giving you a listening ear. Or probably you're trying to pour out your feelings to the person and the person is, you know, just interfering. And you've not even finished pouring out your feelings. Then why did you ask me to talk to you if you know that you're going to keep on interrupting me and all of that? So don't let your emotions rule your life. Bring them to God so He can help you address them. He's not disappointed or frustrated by your struggles. Nah, He's not. Or your doubts or your pains, whatever you're going through, He cares about you, and you can trust Him with those things. He said, cast your care or cast your burdens upon me. Cast all your cares upon me. He did not say, take them to the world, take them to your friends, or cast them upon your friends. He said, cast them on me. He's the burden bearer. He's not giving that name for fancy. So give Him everything, whatever you're going through, just take it to Him. He has the back and the body to carry it. Yeah, eat it. When you trust God, you go to God and His word when life is hard. You also act on obedience, doing what God says in His word, and trust that He will ultimately take care of the rest. In trust, you do not look for security in other things. You look to God to hold on securely in difficult circumstances. You won't do this perfectly, but God is kind and patient with you. While learn to trust Him. Here are 7 ways you can trust God. Yeah. Seek truth in scripture. I don't know, but funny enough, I think the first three episodes and including the last one all spoke about seeking the scripture. Coincidentally, they all spoke about seeking scripture because it's in the scripture that we know how to live our lives as Christians, as human beings. It's all in the scripture. Scripture or the Bible is God's word. God knows you need somewhere to go to when you feel unsure, and that is why He gave wisdom to those who wrote the scriptures, to write the scriptures and package them the way it is. So seek truth in the scripture. The scripture is where the truth is, because people would lie to you at some point in your life. Not everybody you trust would be truthful to you. People would lie to you. How can you know that what they're saying is a lie? When you study the scripture, when you seek the truth in the scripture, the truth of scripture frees you from the expectations of earning your salvation. It also frees you from the unrealistic scenarios that you run to in worry. If you don't run to the world to remind you of the truth in difficult times, it is easier for you to be led into lies about your life and who God is. That is if you run to the world, rather. So if you run to the world, I already mentioned it, like seeking friends, maybe you need advice on something, and then you are asking your friend, you don't even know if that friend is actually jealous of what you already have that he or she doesn't have, and you are trying to seek truth from that person. My dear, it only takes a godly friend and someone who has the fear of the Lord to tell you the truth. But even at that, the Bible is there. Everything we need to grow, to live, to eat, to breathe with is in the Bible. Through the Bible. Yeah, literally through the Bible. Then secondly, confess unbelief. Be honest. Like, allow God to remind you who He is and what His promises are, and then be honest with Him. Confess your unbelief. Don't feel so ashamed that, God, how can I let you know that I do not believe you? It's not like I don't believe you, but then the situation is so hard, I don't even know how to go about it. But then how can I? Don't be shy. He's your father. Just the way Catholics, they have their confession, they confess their sins to their father. Like, why is it so difficult for you then to just sit in your pace and your alone time and then communicate with God through prayer and tell Him your unbelief? Tell Him how you find it so difficult to trust Him. See, yes, He knows your heart, but when we don't open our mouth, yeah, to communicate. It's our mouth that we use to communicate, not our heart. He knows your heart, but you have to open your mouth to communicate, to tell him, God, I don't know, I'm finding it difficult. I'm struggling in these areas of my life. I'm struggling to believe you and to trust you and to have faith in you. I do not even know how to do it. Let's look at Mark 9 verse 24. It says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. It's a story, it's a story about a man that brought his son to Jesus for healing from being possessed by the demon, and then he asked Jesus Christ to heal the son. If you can, that if you can is already a sign of unbelief. Then Jesus asked the man if he did not believe that he could heal the boy, and his reply was in Mark 9:24 that I read, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So he did not feel ashamed, because we are humans, we are still growing as Christians. Accept that you do not believe and then confess to God. Tell him, just the way we confess our sins, just the way the Catholics confess their sins to their priests and all of that. Confess to him, tell him, you do not believe, but help me. Not that you tell him, God, I do not believe you. May I don't know what to do. May I don't believe you. No. When you tell him you don't believe, you tell him, help me so that I can be healed from my unbelief. Yeah, then the third one is share your concerns with your community. And who is the community? The Church of God, your fellowship leaders, your friends, your mentor, your accountability partner, your discipler. You know, if you are probably in a group of Christian society or Christian group and all of that, share your concerns with them. If you have that friend who is spiritually inclined and can, you know, just share. Don't hold yourself back from sharing, because you don't know what the person would say that would encourage you and put and make you to be better. I watched a movie like yesterday about faith, and then the lady in the movie was going through a lot, and she had a friend. In the beginning of the movie, the friend seemed like, oh, this person, that, because the woman was a really chronic Christian, she believed in Christ, and the friend seemed like this person that just, okay, yes, I know God exists, I know his words, but I have begged, let me enjoy my life and all of that. But then it was this same friend that still helped her when she faced difficulties. The friend was there to encourage her. She even quoted some scriptures to encourage her. And that is the importance of sharing what your concerns are with your community, the people you call your friends. The Lord is walking with you every step of the way. He also gives you other believers to walk with you. So communicate with people. Tell the brethren what is going on, what your concerns are, because someone you know is actually pursuing a relationship with God regularly and knows God's word. You don't have to share your struggles with everyone, yes, but find those who would encourage you and share the truth with you, not just tell you what you want to hear. So the fourth point, remember God and spend time with him. Now, God brings tough situations our way, not for us to run away from him or to back out, but for us to build a stronger relationship with him, for us to get closer, communicate with him, fellowship more and deeper with him. That's why he allows some things happen in our life, because we are humans. We are full of activities. We have work, we have the family, we have business, we have the society, a lot going on around us. And when we get distracted by all this at some point in our life, how does he draw us back? He draws us back with those little challenges he brings our way, little or big or whatever. He draws us back with those challenges that comes our way. So when those challenges come up, do not forget God. Remember God and spend time with him. God wants you to go to him with your circumstances. He also wants you to come to him simply to spend time with him. You should not let your circumstance shape your relationship with God. No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't determine whether I still serve God or not. When Job faced everything he faced in his life, his wife told him, curse God and die. But he refused. He refused. And to that point, he remembered God. He kept on fellowshipping with God. He kept on spending time with God. Spend regular time with God. Establishing a consistent time with the Lord when times feel good, will help you to continue to go with Him even when times feel rough. So it's only somebody that already has a good relationship with God when things are rosy and, you know, all dope and everything. It's only such person that will be able to go back to God easily. It's not easy, but then to an extent, because you already know, you already have that fellowship, you already have that communication pathway with God. So it will definitely be easy for you to fall back on Him when things get tough. This simple practice will help you, you know, spend time in prayer, acknowledging who He is, meet with other believers, and set your eyes on things that are bigger than your circumstance. Serve those around you. Read His word. But in all, make sure you remember God and spend time with Him in good and bad. Then the fifth point, look for things to be grateful for. I totally agree. I don't know if somebody agrees with this, but I agree. Like, look for there are lots of things. Sleeping and waking up is one of it. Yeah, because it is very underrated. Good health is one of it. The fact that you're able to raise up your hand, your five fingers are there, your toes are there, your face is okay, your eye is there, you have ears, you can hear. Some people have ears, but they can't hear. Look for those things to be grateful for. Even if your situation is that of cancer or something, look for those things to be grateful for. Think about it. Yes, you did not have cancer. God still, like, He was still God over your life. Will He now leave you when you have that cancer? Or will He leave you when you're facing that challenge, whatever challenge it may be? No. So search for those things to be grateful to God for. You have your family complete, be it whether you've lost your mother, your father, but you have your other extended family still alive. Even the death of your father and mother, still be grateful to God for it, because we are not Him. We don't know His heart, but He has said in His word, the thought I have towards you is of good and not of evil. So be grateful for everything. Give thanks. Fight the lie that everything is horrible. Yes, they seem horrible, they look horrible, but it won't weigh you down as much as it would if you see them as not being horrible. If you see, at least, even if it's just one thing for you to be grateful for, which I know that it cannot just be one thing for you to be grateful for in your life. So just look for that thing. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16-18. Yeah. Then the sixth point, walk in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in anyone who trusts in Jesus. The Holy Spirit should be your constant helper, pointing you to Jesus. He lives in us. I already spoke last week, we treated in your presence. The presence of God lives in us. We are the embodiment of the presence of God. So He is in us. He should be our constant helper. He should be our constant reminder. And should be able to point us back to Jesus. When Jesus was telling His followers that He was going to be killed, He knew that they would be worried. Yeah? They would feel scared about being left alone. So He shared with them the Comforter. He gave us, not just them now, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So then, who are we? John 14 verse 26 says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Spirit comforts and reminds you of the truth. The Spirit will also lead you in obedience. He will bring directions to you. So why don't you walk in the Spirit? The seventh point says, wait on the Lord. wait on the Lord. It can be through fasting, whatever means, whatever way, the Holy Spirit will lead you to what you should do. That is why you have to walk with the Holy Spirit first before you can wait on the Lord, because He is going to be the one to direct your steps. He's going to lead you, guide you to what you should do. Sometimes what you need to do is to wait. Like, be patient. Wait. Wait. Faithfully continue to seek the Lord, but wait on His timing. Wait on Him to act on your behalf. Wait on Him to do what you cannot do yourself, because you have gone through that, you are going through that problem, and you have seen that you can't solve it. So why don't you just wait? Wait on the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, God responds to the Israelites who thought that God had turned away from them. He reminds them that He does not sleep or take a break. He always sees them and is always working on their good. Isaiah 40 verse 31. It says, They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So why should you not wait on the Lord? Trust is a very huge, it's a delicate topic of discussion, because we live in a world where everybody has different beliefs, different, you know, insights on things, and they find it difficult to trust God. Even believers in church, even Christians, we find it difficult to trust God no matter how hard. This, yes, I'm sure somebody is saying it is easier said than done, but that is why you have the Holy Spirit. That is why you have Christ. That is why you should spend time with God. That is why you should share your concerns with the community. That is why you should confess your own beliefs. That is why you should seek the truth in Scripture. Because when you do the seven things that I mentioned, trust me, trusting God is going to, it's not like it's going to be easy, but you just have that comfortability. You're just going to feel so comfortable when things come up, and then you ask to trust God. You will see it as, yes, I have to. I just have to trust Him. So that'll be all for today. Yeah, the table of interest has brought to you another topic that is really interesting, and I hope you learned from it. Yeah, I hope you learned from it. I hope that it touches you. I hope you, from everything I've said, you're able to trust God more and will have more insight on what trusting God actually means. And I pray to God that whoever out there, wherever you are, going through whatever, going through challenges, going through heartbreak, trauma, depression, whatever thing you're going through, I pray God gives you the strength to trust in Him and believe Him to get things done rightly. So yeah, thank you for listening. Like, if you have listened to this point, I am so glad. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, guys. God bless you. Yeah. So see you next time. Stay tuned for another episode on Wednesday. Just subscribe. It won't take anything. Subscribe, share, comment, give your review on Apple Podcasts. You know, follow me on Instagram at the Gabby Table and every other thing you can do. Thank you guys once again. Bye. Have a lovely week.
ain't gonna.